Welcome to Aging Gayfully. We're about adventure, leisure, travel, being a citizen of the world, traveling to destinations, and being a part of the global community as we age and prosper in body, mind, and spirit.
Welcome to Aging Gayfully. I'm Josh.
And I think I'm going to be Christopher today. What do you think? That could be Chris, Christopher. People are inquiring. They're query.
They are querying?
Querying. They are querying.
How are we spelling
query,
that? Query.
Q-U-E-R-R-Y. Now that has a ring to it. Querying. How do we get off on these things? Goodness.
Oh, well, I don't want to talk about getting off because this is
that's another podcast somewhere on the internet. No, but I'm sure people want to query about that.
What's this deal with you and query? What's happening?
Well, you know, some people have called me queer before, but and I didn't take offense to it. Well, maybe when I was younger, didn't know what it meant, but you know, as I'm prone to do with my bald head and mind, that all these ideas that keep popping into my head. And I just remembered as a kid how I used to have pin, that's my bowling, not pin, pen pals. I used to have pen pals when I was a kid. We would write letters back and forth. And it's like, God, it was really fun to get to know somebody. We were both like teenagers. We were riding back and forth to each other because, you know, there was a time in life where there was no computers. There wasn't an internet. You had to put a stamp on a letter and, you know, mail it off. And then you go to the mailbox. You'd anticipate some mail coming in. Now the only thing that comes in on a mail is like a bill.
A bill or political... Political ads. Oh my gosh.
Political ads. Oh goodness gracious, St. Ignatius. But no, I remembered this fellow I was pen palling with as a kid. He was talking about the New York Rangers. I was talking about the St. Louis Blues, and we got to know each other. And that kind of went away, but it's been prevalent in my mind here recently. And I thought, this term query letters keeps coming back to my mind. Query letter. Q-U-E-E-R-Y letters. Query letters. It's kind of like having a pen pal. And I've been doing some searches on the internet. And lo and behold, queryletters.com became available today. Literally an hour ago. And I jumped on it.
So I take it that means that you purchased it.
I did. I purchased it. Because I think as we continue to develop this, I think letter writing, and whether it's letter writing or blogs or however you want to coin it in today's modern communication, there's a comfort in writing to another person about your experience, your life, your likes, your dislikes, your innermost desires, your dreams. Your ambitions. All too often we get sidetracked about things that we really want to do versus things that we have to do. And even though we're really good at some of those things that we have to do, we really like to explore things that we want to do. I might use somebody on this podcast as an example who's multi-talented in music. I bet you'd like to be a Grammy Award winner.
Well, it wouldn't hurt.
Wouldn't hurt because you write songs, you play music. That's one of your passions. But have you ever written about that? Have you ever put that down on put pen to paper and talked about your dreams and your?
It's interesting that you say that because this whole idea of writing, putting pen to paper as opposed to sending an email or something is taken a very prominent role in my life recently, because I think I shared with you and people on this podcast that I've started doing a gratitude journal where I put pen to paper, and I've got mm-hmm. this big old notebook here that I'm holding in front of the camera that those listening can't see, but it's a notebook full of my daily expressions of of things that I'm grateful for, but also in there, I do put my hopes and my dreams. You know, it's very aspirational as well. And there's just something about the tactile experience of pen to paper that I think is very special and very evocative. And I think that it taps into a different part of your brain and a different part of how you process as you're writing. So I think that the whole process of writing with pen and paper is very powerful.
I think writing has I think there's a bigger connection to your body, mind, and spirit when you write rather than you type.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Oh, here we go. Write rather than type.
And I also wonder if it has something to do with the fact that as kids we didn't have keyboards. You know, we couldn't type. So it's very foundational, this pen or this crayon or this pencil to paper, right, to us. It links us back again to when we were growing up, whereas it might not do that to, let's say, my kid. Mm-hmm. Right now, you know, he's still in school, they still write, they don't type. So there's something very much foundational and very much that links us immediately back to who we were growing up.
I don't know. I think we're onto something here.
I think this whole idea of encouraging people to be pen pals where you stick a letter in the mail is pretty cool. I love
that. Yeah, in today's day and age, we have people sharing their addresses. I'm not sure how comfortable people would be, but there's ways of kind of getting around that. As I think about where I want to be as I continue to age gayfully, I'm sure a lot of our listeners know that I have this other brand called the Whole Care Network, which is focused on, I'm just going to say my previous life, but it's still a part of my life, you know, caregiving. But where I really want to be moving for quite a long time is I want to be living my life through aging gayfully. And when I look back where I got started on the Whole Care Network and blogging, it all came back to writing and sharing stories. And I think we can do that through query letters. We're writing, sharing our story. And again, just like when in aging gayfully, you don't have to be gay to have a query letter. But I guess it does help. I'll throw that in. So,
all right. Well, more to come on that. That sounds pretty exciting.
More to come on query letters, but that is officially a part of the Aging Gayfully brand, and we'll be collaborating with a few projects with the University of Barcelona. We're about to solidify that opportunity. We'll know more, probably in the next couple of episodes, but that's going to be a part of this query as well.
Well, it's what is it? We're in March, right?
We're in March. Mm-hmm.
So we gotta kick it up a notch. We gotta get all these things going because time is passing. And that, my friend, you can't get a better link to our next segment than what I just gave you there. That was pro level. I want to talk a little bit about how...
We should have a drum roll or something, don't you?
That's right. Let me ask you a question. Does it seem like, or do you get the perception as you age that time goes faster?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it just seemed like yesterday that we were celebrating Christmas, and now we're in March 3rd. And then on a historical note for me, we're recording this podcast on March 3rd, and then next Sunday is a 10-year anniversary of Richard passing. It's like, 10 years. I mean, that seemed like yesterday.
Yeah,
it's our life experiences that really, what's the right word? It's our life experiences really is what ties the time.
Yeah.
Together.
So let's talk about that a little bit, because I did some research. And what I didn't want to think was the case was that time seems to go faster because we just become more and more aware of our own mortality.
Oh, no, I don't think
that's pretty dark.
Yeah, it's dark.
That's pretty dark. But I mean, that's what I'm thinking. It's like, you know, you get the idea that we're more and more aware of the sands going through the hourglass sort of thing. Which is,
those are the days of our lives.
As the granules get fewer, we're more aware of them. But that's actually not the case. So I did a little research because, you know, I was curious. I get curious sometimes. And I came across this this article. And it was talking about how, you know, again, the end of the year going to the beginning of the year just seems to go so quickly. It seems to go so fast. But it's interesting because it really seems that the world itself, or our perception of the world and of the calendar and of special days, has this push and this pull of time going faster and slower. It seems like time speeds up at a certain point of the year and then slows down at another certain point of the year. And then as the decades go by, it has that elasticity as well. And why is that? Well, this is what it says. And I am going to do a little bit of reading from this article. It says, there's a reason why you may feel like the years move slowly when you were a kid, but zoom by now. Experts say our perception of time greatly changes as we age, which makes certain periods feel like they go by quickly, right? And again, that's none of that is earth-shattering yet. But the idea is that when we were kids, our brain was set up a different way, number one, you know, because we're kids, we're sponges, we're learning things. And that influences greatly our perception of time, right? So how we process what we see influences how we view time. Our brains are trained to receive many images when we are infants because we're absorbing so many new images as kids. It feels like months and years are longer, right? So that makes sense. We're learning new things. Our brain is grabbing onto those new things and processing it, doing a lot of work. And that process itself makes time expand, makes things, you know, makes time seem longer, right? And the older we get, the less new things we expose ourselves to, or sometimes we have an opportunity to experience. And time seems to go quicker because we're not doing anything up here in the old noggin. We're not challenging it. We're not forcing it to learn and to grow. You know, it's the old thing that our parents would tell us, you know, don't go to sleep when you're 35 and you're in your career, and wake up when you're 60 and retiring and saying, what happened to all that time? You know, week in and week out, we do the daily grind, the 9 to 5. We get ourselves into a routine, and then all of a sudden we wake up and it's 25 years later. Well, that's because we have not challenged ourselves. We've not grown and learned. We've boxed ourselves into a routine. And that's what makes time seem to accelerate. That is very challenging, that. Challenging to me.
No matter how I have this self-perception, and it relates to my position in my family, no matter how old I get, I'm always going to be the youngest, because I am the youngest. And I think it's safe to say that I've not had a very traditional life. If there, you know, I don't have the white picket fence and the two kids and the, you know, the I've never had that. My most difficult times has always been when I've had the 9 to 5 job, where I couldn't be creative, and that's when the time really dragged, at least for me. And I do think it is a total mindset. Like, right, at 67, I'm exploring more things today than I did probably while I was in my 40s and 50s working those 9 to 5 jobs, because I perceive that I have more time, yet the time goes by faster.
Yeah, it is a weird push and a pull, because you just said something very interesting that I can relate to, and that is when you are caught in the old grind, time seems to drag, and yet in retrospect, it feels like it went by so quickly. And it just, it's such a waste of time and emotionally draining. And yeah, I mean, again, learn new things. So, yeah, learn new things.
Here's a new thing. I just love when these spontaneous conversations happen, and I can relate it to an experience. Couple of things. Yesterday morning, I spent 2.5 hours in the morning working on my orchids and plants in the patio, and it's kind of like I got my hands dirty, my dirted my nails. It's getting like, not that I pay any attention to my nails, and I'm trying to be a little bit funny, but it's like, how relaxing this was. It's like, now I want to be I want to be an orchid aficionado, and I'm having a blast tending to the plants. It's like, it's only been in the last year where I've really gotten into this. It's like, just think of all the time I could have spent years ago doing this, but now I'm doing it now, because it's never too late. You're never too late to learn something.
The interesting thing about that is that research has shown that the more fully engaged you can be in a moment, the more fully you just try to stay where you are without being distracted by other things around you, without worrying about the past or the future, the longer that time feels. That's why mindfulness exercises are so important. But also reaching what's called the flow state. I don't know if we've talked about the flow state, but being in a state of flow is just being totally in the moment when you are engaged in an activity that takes all of your attention. So for me, it's painting. When I paint, I lose all perception of time, and I'm just there in the moment, and it's so therapeutic, so relaxing. For you, it sounds like it could be, you know, this experience with your orchids. It puts you in a state of flow. It puts you totally and completely in the moment where all of you is just right where you are. And that's so important for our mental and emotional well-being. And also, again, you know, this idea of mindfulness, it makes time expand. It makes you feel like it's more substantial, and you've been able to experience more because you're fully engaged.
Right. And I think there's a sports analogy I could use here. Being in the zone. I can relate that to my years of bowling. And when I would go and practice 3 and 4 hours a day, and you just totally in the zone, and you know, friends of mine who weren't bowlers, they would say, why are you spending so much time? Well, you're honing your craft. Those were my happiest times.
Yeah.
And then when you get in that zone, especially, and I think anybody that follows sports or is a musician or whatever your craft is, you get into that, you get locked into that zone, that you know that you're 100% focused on what you're doing. Time doesn't mean anything.
And that's really, I think that's where everyone wants to be.
Right.
As often as possible.
Right. How do we get into that? How do we find that? In this busy world of multitasking? I used to think, when I was younger, I used to think multitasking was a talent. I think it's a hindrance.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I don't think that it's our natural state.
Yeah, it's an unnatural.
And maybe that's why just the mental health of the earth right now just feels like it's going to shit, because we've got way too much external stimuli that's distracting us,
Jesus,
pulling us all these directions. And so, you know, I often reflect on how it just feels like everyone's getting more and more stressed, more and more angry, having more and more of a difficult time. And, you know, I just think, we live in a a world that is not, we have built a world that's not suited for our mental health, right? It's structural, I think.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you have, and I think each one of us has to find that happy medium. It's okay to turn the phone off at like 9 o'clock. You can set your phone to for an, if there's an emergency or emergency mm-hmm. calls for certain people that it'll ring through. It's like I try not to look at my phone past 8 o'clock at night, unless there's a hockey score I want to find out.
Yes, absolutely.
Because you know that pen pal of mine might write me again, and I got to keep up on the.
That, you know, talking about ways how we can combat that. Yes, turn off your phone. Try to reduce all the external noise, but also look for that thing that you do that puts you in a state of flow where all of a sudden you look up and 3 hours have gone by and you have no idea that that's how much time passed because you were just so in that moment. So some people might create, some people might be painters or artists or musicians, or some people might play sports or do something physical. It could be knitting. Mm-hmm. My wife, Amanda, loves to knit. It doesn't matter what it is. It just matters puts you in a place.
To me, yep. It's turning into the plants. And my other thing that I want to do is paint by numbers. That's coming up next.
Oh, say more about that.
Well, I was in St. Louis here recently with my sister-in-law. My favorite yes. sister-in-law, she would say, you know what her response would be? I'm your only sister-in-law. I introduced Richard to her like this. That's 15, 16 years ago. Richard, I want you to meet my favorite sister-in-law, Pat. She said, I'm your only sister. But she started doing these paint by numbers. And when I looked around her house, she started pointing out all the different pieces of art that she's done with these paint by numbers. And I thought, oh, how relaxing that is. We had a really nice conversation about that. So that's it's the plants and then paint by numbers. That's coming up next.
Well, go find your thing is what I'm telling everyone out there. Go find your thing.
Go find your thing. Do what makes you happy. Listen to Aging Gayfully.
There you go. And another one of my things that I know is your thing is yeah. travel.
Yes.
And so I do want for us to take a little time to help me prepare for my trip next week.
You have a big trip.
Going to London.
Yeah, you're going to London. I have your first tip.
Go ahead.
Know where your passport is.
All right. Okay. I can't wait for me to go on this trip so this damn passport difficulty that I had can just be in the past.
But actually, though, Josh, that's important for everybody.
Yes.
To know where your passport is. Your situation last year was out of your control. But in the years that I've been involved in the travel industry, I'm amazed at how many people don't regularly check their passport and what the rules and regulations are. You know, if you're traveling abroad, you don't want your passport expiration date within six months of your travel. That could pose a problem. And the other thing, I know you're going to a country where you don't need a visa, but you want to check to see if you need a visa where you're going. That's just kind of my tips.
Well, thank you. Another tip is that it's always fun to try to know the language. You know, it's always fun to do a little research and be able to communicate, right? And so that leads right into, I've been doing some research, leads right into our next little segment. I'm going to give you a little quiz here. We've not done this before, but this is one of my favorite things to do on my other podcast, Super Familiar with the Wilsons, is to give little quizzes. Now, I am going to London, England, but as you may or may not be aware, England and America are two countries that are separated by a common language. There are things that that they say that we have no earthly idea what they mean. And so I'm going to give you a little quiz about that.
Okay. I'm going to have a couple for you too when this is over. So
excellent. Well, you might know all these and then that'll be fun. So, you know, for example, or do you know what they call flashlights over there?
No, I don't.
Torch. A flashlight is a torch. It's a torch. Huh. A mobile home or a trailer is called a caravan.
Okay.
The mail, you don't say the mail, you call it the post.
Okay.
You don't say butt or bottom, you say bum.
Bum, yes. Mm-hmm.
You don't say the trunk of your car, you say the boot, and so on and so on. But then there are also these fun slang words that are like proper slang. And I would like to quiz you and just ask you, what do these words mean? Okay, so for example, if someone says that they can't be arsed, they can't be arsed, what do they mean?
They can't be fooled.
It means that they can't be bothered.
Oh, can't be bothered. Okay.
It's like I can't be arsed to take the garbage out today. Yeah. So arse, A-R-S-E, is also how they say ass. Mm-hmm. But the phrase is, can't be arsed. Mm-hmm. All right. If you get a good bollocking from your teacher, a right good bollocking, what are you getting?
A good grade.
Absolutely not. You are getting punished or told off for doing something you ought not to have done. You're getting a good bollocking. Now, interestingly, if you talk bollocks, it means you're talking nonsense. If something's a load of bollocks, it means that it's not true. But bollock actually means testicle. So that's fun. I hope you're writing these down if you need to know how to refer to someone's testicles in England. Bollocks.
I would imagine there's some gay slang in and around that.
Well, get a bollocking can also mean something else
I'm sure.
So, all right. This one happens to be not sexual. A chippy. Do you know what a chippy is?
Nope. Maybe a French fry or a potato chip.
Very good. A chippy is a chip shop. It's where you get maybe some fish and chips from your local chippy. Okay. And don't forget the mushy peas.
I like mushy peas.
Do you really?
I do.
Oh, it just sounds foul. I've never had them. Oh, I don't plan on it.
Go for it.
No.
Be a risk taker.
Gross. Dude, this is not a thing I'm going to risk take on mushy peas. I'm going to save my risks for something fun. But not a bollocking. Okay,
not
next.
You just took the hands off my bollockers. So.
All right, next. Chuffed. So when someone says that I'm pretty chuffed.
Mad.
No, I'm happy. I'm satisfied. I'm right chuffed with how that painting turned out.
Well, you see, it goes along with my dyslexia. I get the opposites on all of these.
That's good. So the next one I ask you, just think about what you think it means, and then whatever the opposite of that is, that's the answer.
I used to do that in philosophy class in the seminary. It worked really well.
It's very good. All right. If someone refers to their gaffer, G-A-F-F-E-R, their gaffer, who is their gaffer?
Their fun person.
Okay, you should have gone with the opposite. It's their boss or their manager.
Their boss or their manager. You should have gone with their manager. Yeah, their gaffer.
So the gaffer is your boss. I got to get back before the gaffer knows that I've left. Okay, so ready? Gob. G-O-B, gob. If you tell someone to shut your gob, is that good context clue?
Shut your mouth.
There you go. Your gob is your mouth. All right. If you're a grass or you grass up someone, what does this mean?
Call somebody.
It is if you tell on them, if you inform on them.
Oh,
as we said in the 80s, if you narc on them, yep, you are a grass and you've grassed them up. All right, here's one that you should know. Knob. K-N-O-B, knob.
It's not coming to my knob. It's not coming to my knob.
Absolutely not. Don't be such a knob means don't be such an annoying person. But knob is also what they refer to their penis. So when it was not coming to your knob, that's a good thing because, again, this is not that kind of podcast.
Oh, goodness.
Next, you should know this one, Lou.
Oh, going to the bathroom.
There you go. There you go. With your knob and bollocks. Next.
You hope so.
That's right. Don't leave them at the table.
Don't leave them at the table.
You never know what's going to happen when you're gone.
Don't leave home without
them. All right. Next, NAFF. N-A-F-F. NAFF.
I don't know. I don't know that one at all.
It's a descriptive word. These curtains are a bit NAFF.
They suck.
Yes. Tasteless or cheap looking. It is NAFF. All right. Couple more. What happens if you nick something?
You've poked a hole in it.
You steal it.
Oh.
You've stolen it. I nick those Jammy Dodgers from the chip shop or whatever. Not that they would sell Jammy Dodgers at a chip shop. Do you know what Jammy Dodgers are?
No.
There's this delicious shortbread cookie with a little bit of like fruit gelatin in the middle. It's actually quite good.
So you're probably going to have that more than mushy peas.
That is a truism there. All right, couple more. If someone's a pillock, what are they? P-I-L-L-O-C, a pillock.
Pain in the ass.
Yes, an idiot or annoying person. I don't know the etymology of that word. Skint. If someone is skint, S-K-I-N-T. If someone is skint, hopefully I will not be skint when I go over to London.
Forgetful.
To be without money.
Oh,
skint.
Yeah, that makes sense. No, you'll be without money after you come back from London.
That's right. I will be skint after
you'll be
I come
skint
back.
After you come back.
It's just me sitting there with my knob and bollocks. Okay. Do you know what a bog is? B-O-G, a bog?
No.
Bathroom. It's another name for bathroom.
Another name for bathroom. Okay.
And a bog roll is like a toilet roll or a you know, toilet paper. Last one. I love this phrase. To take the Mickey.
Oh, I should know this. To take the Mickey. It's not coming to me.
It is to mock or laugh at someone.
To take the Mickey. Oh, okay. Yeah, that. Right.
So it's like, oh, he took the Mickey out of me, or take the Mick.
Take the Mick
out of. And that's actually the other phrase that's less polite. That's also very well known is to take the piss out of someone.
Right. Yeah.
All right, Chris. Well,
I got a couple for you. These are more common though, I think.
All right, go ahead.
I think everybody knows this one. Mind the gap.
Mind the gap. Yes, I will absolutely have to mind the gap between my knob and bollocks. No, it is when you're on the tube. It's the space between the tube and the platform that you don't want to fall in.
Right, and the tube is the subway.
Yes, and Amanda tells me they're quite clean, which is different than my experience on the New York subway.
Kind of like the subway in Spain.
There you go.
Quite right. Clean.
Do you have another one?
I have another one, but this is more Irish than it is English.
Okay.
But I would imagine it might apply. It said, I'm going to knock you up.
I don't think that means what it means in America.
No. I'm going to knock you up.
I'm going to call you.
I'm going to call you. I'm going to knock on your door. I'm going to, of course, this story comes from the seminary. When the fellow from Ireland tells the classmate, well, I'll come by and knock you up.
Yep, that's a little bit of a, well, it's like Fanny.
Yeah.
So Fanny in the United States is your bum, is your bottom.
Right.
Fanny in the UK does not refer to that. And so you do not want to say
I like your Fanny.
Are you yes, no, well, or just like I'm gonna give you a pat on the Fanny. Yes, no, it refers to a frontward facing part right. That's lower down. All right, Chris, well, I think that's enough foolishness for today. What do you think? How can people get in touch with us?
It's real easy. You just go to aginggayfully.com, or you can email us at yesiam@aginggayfully.com, and we'll kind of take it from there.
All right, folks. So until next week, y'all take...
Next week, you're going to be minding the gap.
I understand, but... you know, with this, our recording schedule, who knows what's going to happen next week. So, folks, still be looking for us next week because we'll probably be there. Some version of us will probably be there.
Some version, one way or another, we'll be minding the gap or knocking you up or whatever the heck it is. We'll be
doing
something.
That's right, but we'll be chuffed. All right, folks.
Have a safe trip.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I will send you pictures.
Okay.
All right. Bye, folks.
Query letters.
That's right. That's right. All right. Bye, folks.